You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think this will be a show that certainly I will remember. I hope you will remember it, too. It's a TPC special broadcast, a TPC special report. The USS Liberty was attacked by Israel on June the 8th, 1967. We're reporting live from a reunion of the survivors. The men who were there on that fateful day in the Mediterranean Sea are speaking directly to you. They're sharing their stories, and we have to thank our friend and comrade Eddie the Bombardier Miller for going down to Pensacola and reporting live. Without Eddie, we don't have a show tonight, or at least we don't have this show. He is making it happen by being there on the ground and bringing these men in and getting them queued up and doing it all remotely while we broadcast live from the studio. And we're continuing that this hour. Powerful testimony, powerful eyewitness accountings in the last hour. It will continue for the remainder of the show tonight as they are there at this reunion in Pensacola. Eddie, I hear, tell us who we have next.
Okay, we have Tom Bradley on. Tom Bradley was also a survivor of the United States Ship Liberty that fateful day, June 8, 1967. And I'm going to ask him this a question or two, James, and then turn him loose. Tom, you were there on the United States Ship Liberty June the 8th, 1967. What is your grade and what was your MOS?
I was an E5, and I was getting very close to enlisting. And I was due to be re-enlisted by an executive officer. I was just sitting back and waiting for it.
So what was your job on the Liberty?
Hey, Eddie, just very, very, very quickly before Tom continues. Tom's a little hot on his mic. If you could just turn him down just a little bit because we want to make sure we can hear clearly everything he said. Just a smidge. Hey. And continue on, Tom. Pardon the interruption.
Okay. That's quite all right. Go ahead. Is that any better?
Is that any better?
100% better. 100% better. Take it away.
Go ahead. Tom, what was your MOS? What were you doing? What was your job that fateful day when the Israelis attacked June 8th of 1967? Take it away, Tom.
My job was to correct or to fix, repair any of the electronics in the space that I was assigned to. R-390s was primarily my main objective, and I had one computer that I was involved with. I went ahead. I'll start my story by saying that during our drill, the captain had mentioned several fires coming offshore that he thought that Israel had made some oil fields to come on fire. And so I decided that after this drill that I would like to go up to the deck and go topside to see if I could see these oil fields on fire. So I started down the side of the ship, and just as soon as I stepped down the side of the ship, I heard this sound behind me that sounded like somebody that the bosun mates was using their chipping hammer on something, and so I heard all this rattling, and then the next thing I heard was a jet plane going past the ship. Then I realized, having never heard it before, I realized that we were under attack by these jet planes. So I made my way to my general quarters station. And I was halfway to my station before the sound was approved. You know, the sound was made by the captain this is no drill, this is no drill, man your battle stations. And so I had to proceed down, three decks down to my general quarters station.
And by the way, if I'm not mistaken, Tom, there were about eight stories in the ship, right? Eight stories high, correct?
All together from bottom to clear up on the bridge above that.
So you were five stories below. That's bad. That's where the water. Go ahead, Tom.
Right. Hey, Pappy, you're a little hot too. If you could pipe down your mic just a little bit. If he was hot earlier, you're on fire.
Is that better?
Yeah.
No, a little bit too low. A little bit in between. We're troubleshooting on the. Hey, it's live radio, folks. We're troubleshooting.
Okay.
Go on, Tom. Please continue.
Yeah, we're troubleshooting. Go ahead, Tom.
That's perfect. You're good.
I was going down. I was going down the main deck, and then I had to go down three decks from there, down to my general quarter station, which was the where a lot of the operations was conducted on our ship, and I don't mean to try to impress anybody, but you know, I reached back and scratched my back a little bit, and brought my hand back, and I had blood on it. So one of those pieces of metal or whatever had to have hit me in the back, but it was not very seriously. And I had a second one when the torpedo hit. And I was there, and I felt something on my hat. And I reached up and scratched my hat a little again, and it had blood on it. And so, again, it was just very minor. And I did not turn that in to anybody on the ship because, they weren't told us if, regardless of whether or not you got hurt or, you know, how bad you got hurt, get it checked out by medical. And had I done that, I would have received a Purple Heart, and I am so glad to this day that I didn't do that. I was there when the torpedo hit, when they told us to stand by for torpedo attack, and because I was down on that level of the ship, I just assumed that, hey, this is it, you know. Well, if that torpedo hits, and so when the torpedo hit, I started making my way up to the two decks above us was Medical Central, and I proceeded up the ladder. And I got to the first deck above and ran across one of the sailors that was in the communication center where the main part of that torpedo hit. And he was the only one that made it out of that space because he had been hit before the torpedo was fired. So I helped get him to Medical Central, which was one more deck above that. And then I proceeded on up to the main deck of the ship. And I was working, helping to perform artificial respiration on our postal clerk. And just kind of a joking type thing. That postal clerk, one time when we was having lunch, he says, "I've been on this ship so long, I'll probably die on this ship."
I said, "Brent,
you know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I was just looking through our broadcast archives, and it's actually quite frightening how much time has passed since we have done a show like this. We have done one show like this before in our 16 and a half year run here on TPC. I thought it was much more recent than what it has been. It was in the summer. It was in June, because this is the anniversary of the attack on the Liberty. It was in June of 2008. We had three surviving crew members of the USS Liberty on with us in June of 2008. And now here we are 13 years later, and all credit is due and given to Eddie Miller tonight for being our man down there. This show does not happen without him. He is the one that is there on the ground reporting live and bringing these sailors to us. I mean, these are the men who lived that history. This is incredible history, incredible testimony, incredible radio that you're not going to get anywhere else but this network. You wouldn't be getting it at all without Eddie Miller. So, Eddie, I love you. I mean, obviously, we've been together since before either of us were on the radio, going all the way back to my campaign for the State House in 2002. And we have been together for 20 years. And tonight is one of those nights of those 20 years I'm going to remember. But you've got a very special guest coming up. Tell us why he's – well, they're all special. They're all special.
Yes.
But this one is special for a special reason. Why?
Yes, this is special for a special reason because Jack Horn, he hasn't spoken a word about this incident. He hasn't seen any of his brother sailors, shipmates, for 54 years. It was so traumatic. We have other sailors that couldn't come because they said every time they see their shipmates, they still suffer PTSD, nightmares. It's just too traumatic for them. We tried to get some other sailors on, and they just can't do it. They get sick, and it's just the trauma is unbelievable. But this is Jack Horn. Mr. Horn, before we go for your story, how old are you, Mr. Horn? You're about to say
78 tomorrow.
Okay, tomorrow is Mr. Jack Horn's birthday. Jack, we just introduced you. This first time you've said a word in 54 years. Tell the audience your story, Mr. Horn.
Okay, I was a CT aboard the USS Liberty. I was in.
If we could get his mic a little bit closer, Eddie.
Okay, how's this?
Is that too hot?
A little bit hot, a little bit in between. It would be just right. As
how about that? Is that better? Said.
That's perfect.
People, okay. This is live radio. We'd like to understand you. We're flying by the seat of our pants. Go and James just told you that a minute ago. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay, my duty station was in the research department. I was a CT aboard the Liberty in the administration area. I did all the shipment of classified material preparation for it to be sent to the U.S. Embassy and back to NSA. My general quarters station was in the passageway in front of my office, and my duty was to take all the classified information that I could get my hands on, place it in a document sinking bag during the attack. It was in this passageway when the word was passed over the 1MC to stand by for torpedo hit starboard side. I took position right next to that bag, and the torpedo struck to my right about, I'd say 30 feet. The only thing that saved my life was that bag, and that took a lot of shrapnel. Some of it got past and got me in the back. It didn't hurt that much at the time. My instinct was to escape from that compartment because very suddenly I was up to my neck in water.
Damn. Did you think you, Jack, did you think, pardon me if you interrupted, did you think you were going to drown, die from drowning then?
Yeah.
Did you pray?
Didn't have a chance.
God bless you. God bless you. But go ahead, didn't mean to interrupt you. I just had to ask that. You probably thought you were done for, though. But anyway, please continue your story, Mr. Jack.
Okay. When the torpedo hit, all the lights went out. Smoke filled the air. It was completely black. You could not see anything. My instinct told me to get out of that compartment if I could. And I reached for the handrail on the ladder leading to the deck above. The handrail was not on the ladder anymore. It had been blown away. But I did find the steps to the ladder, which were intact. I went up the ladder. There were two gentlemen up there ahead of me. One of them was trying to open the hatch and turn the dog the wrong way, so he was tightening it down instead of opening it up. I removed him from that, touching that dog, put my hands on it, opened it, got the hatch open, got him out, and got Commander Dave Lewis out. He was right adjacent to me at the top of that ladder. At that point, I got up and out, and I saw men were coming up behind me, so I didn't see any need to remain in that area. I left the research spaces, went aft down an outside passageway, back to an area where a group of men had gathered, tending to John Spicer, who was laying on the deck just inside of a hatchway. My next recollection was that word had been passed that prepare to repel boarders. Well, I was a police officer prior to coming on the ship, so my first instinct to get my hand on a weapon. That locker was locked with a padlock. I sent a sailor from that group down to the machinery spaces to get a pair of bolt cutters to open that up. He never returned, and it was during that time that the helicopter carrying those attack troops that were going to board us went away. So at that time, the attack was over.
Jack, may I ask a quick question, because this has been bothering me for a long time. Why did the Marines not have a key to that? Because if everybody knows about the service, you know, the sailors are usually technical people. The Marines are the ones that do the fighting, the shoot, actual shooting and killing. Why did the Marines not have a key to that locker? Is there any? Does anybody know
the reason?
The
ones that had keys to the locker were the gunner's mates. Okay. And I think gunner mate Thompson.
That seems like negligence to me, but I'll shut up. But go ahead. Go ahead, Jack.
I was very willing to get that padlock by any means possible. I knew what weapons were in there. I had done shooting practice with the Thompson submachine gun. And I knew that was in there, and I'd like to have gotten my hands on that.
Amen.
Well, I'd like to ask Jack this. I mean, I know you're saying, Eddie, this is the first time he's spoken publicly in 54 years, 54 years. Jack, what's it like to be together again with your crewmates, even after all this time? What's it like when you come together? I couldn't even imagine, so please tell me.
Well, it's a bit nerve-wracking. It stirred up a lot of old memories. I still have nightmares to this day. So, you know, it brought back a lot of that to me. I managed to withstand, to hold up pretty well under it. And it's great to see those guys. There's a few guys that I wanted to talk to that I expected to be here, but were not. So,
yeah, I can't imagine the degree of difficulty. I mean, to having withstood it, of course, but to even be able to come together again and talk about it and to relive it. I mean, I think obviously there is some benefit to that, but also some difficulties with that. And but you know much better than I do about that. But I want to thank you again for being with us tonight and for speaking about this. 54 years is a long time, but I'm sure it seems like yesterday in some regards. You mentioned still having the nightmares. Is there anything else with just seconds remaining before the music starts that you'd like to share with the audience?
Well, just that I can very, very vividly recall all the events that surrounded me at that time. Those memories just don't go away.
I'm sure that they won't, and I'm sure that they never will. But thank you for being with us tonight, and thank you for sharing your story. It's a story of heroism and a story of survival. We'll be back in Pensacola with Eddie the Bombardier Miller right after this.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
You look at our border is wide open. Illegal immigration is skyrocketing at a level that we've never seen before. And this is over a period of a few months. Drugs are pouring in. Gas prices are soaring. Our industries are being pillaged by foreign cyber attacks. That's a lack of respect for our country and for our leaders.
Former President Trump in North Carolina. Trump speaking at the North Carolina Republican State Convention. The former president continues.
Speaking of our leaders, they're bowing down to China. America is being demeaned and humiliated on the world stage. Our freedom is being overtaken by left-wing cancel culture.
Infrastructure talks expected to resume on Monday after President Biden rejected the latest Republican proposal. This is USA Radio News.
Friends, Mike Lindell is a great supporter of conservative radio, but most of all, he's a man who has invented a great USA product that will help you get a great night's sleep. For over 3 years, I've told you how the MyPillow Premium Pillow has changed my life. I get the best sleep of my life. But more importantly, the pillows don't go flat. You can wash them and dry them as many times as you want. They maintain their shape, and they are made in the USA. Here's the best deal you'll ever get on a MyPillow Premium Pillow. $29.98 for a standard or queen size pillow. King size only $5 more. You're saving $40. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. You can save up to 60% on any MyPillow product when you use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and ask for the MyPillow Premium Pillow Special.
A new survey from Ramsey Solutions says 42% of consumers with debt say the pandemic has been a financial setback they don't think they can come back from, compared to 27% of people without consumer debt. The survey also found those without consumer debt, 45%, were more likely to save stimulus money than those with debt, which is 31%. Ramsey Solutions President Dave Ramsey making sense of those numbers on Fox News.
Obviously, if you've got debt, you're likely to use the money to pay your bills. And so, because, you know, you got more money going back out the door. And so, again, this points to what Ramsey's been doing for 30 years, getting people out of debt, because it puts you into a position of strength. And those that didn't have that were more likely to save their stimulus check, which, oh, by the way, stimulated nothing in the economy because it went into a savings account.
More news can be found online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
So from Tennessee back to Florida we go. James Edwards in studio, Eddie Miller down on the scene at this gathering of heroes, survivors of the USS Liberty. They are gathered together tonight in Pensacola, Florida. We're going to go straight to Larry Bowen right now. Larry is the president of the USS Liberty Association. Larry, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I have several questions, sir, that I'd like to ask you, we'll get to them as quickly as we can. But first, I guess in some ways most importantly, where were you? What was your station on that day on June the 8th, 1967?
My early morning assignment was I was in Radio Research 1, which was a IRBRAT communication station. I was copying code, International Morse code, and I was setting in that position until we went to general quarters, at which time I was told to move up one flight of stairs or one deck to another position, doing the same job, I was there throughout the entire attack.
What is it like? We were talking with one of your fellow crewmates just the segment prior. Why is this still important 54 years later?
Well, primarily because the truth has never come out. The American government and the Israeli government have both covered up the fact that we were deliberately attacked by Israel, and there's never been a full congressional investigation into the attack. This is the only time a U.S. naval ship has been deliberately attacked by another country without a congressional investigation. 54 years is an awful long time for something like that to happen without an investigation. We the crew feel like we've been abandoned by our own government.
Well, and for good reason. And there is a website, ladies and gentlemen, that we've been talking about tonight. I've got to say it again. If you are at all intrigued by the entirely intriguing eyewitness testimony that you have heard from these survivors of the USS Liberty, the attack on the Liberty by Israel, you've got to go to honorlibertyvets.org, honorlibertyvets.org. There you will get the basic facts about the USS Liberty. There are 20, numbered 1 through 20, of the most commonly asked questions about the Liberty, question and answer style they are presented in. But there is one thing there that I wanted to ask Larry Bowen, the president of the USS Liberty Association, and that is this action alert. Tell Congress and the media to cover the USS Liberty. And you have an option there, a link that people can click. That encourages them and gives them ways to contact their local media outlets and their elected representatives and ask that they interview survivors of the attack. What is the message that you would like conveyed to the American public? And in what ways would you like to see an open and honest media and elected officials who are concerned with the well-being of Americans and the American sailors, in this case, of course, the Liberty crewmates, what would you like to see them do?
Well, first and foremost, I guess, is to have an open congressional investigation where we, the survivors, would be interviewed by congressional representatives so that we can tell the truth about what happened that day. There were direct overflights prior to the attack. There were a three-prong attack that had to be coordinated prior to the the events of that day, and that was deliberate, premeditated murder as far as we, the crew, are concerned. And for Israel to claim that it was all mistaken identity is just nothing further from the truth. So we want the American public to, you know, ask their representatives to, you know, seriously have their representatives, you know, get a investigation going for us to get the truth out.
Hey, James, I want to make a key a comment that's key here. You know, Larry, we heard today, Phil, correct me if I'm wrong, Phil Torney and maybe another sailor or two, I forgot who, were in Washington, D.C., supposed to be testifying to a congressional committee. They also had representatives from our beloved Israeli, our allies there, to testify. And once again, correct me if I'm wrong, the Israelis were able to testify. They did not allow the survivors of the Liberty to testify. And when the survivors of the Liberty got irate and tried to go ahead and testify, the people there in the Congress shut their mics off. Am I right or wrong, Larry?
That is correct. And we've had our doors slammed in our face more times than I can count. And it seems like they just don't want to hear from, you know, the on-site eyewitnesses. They'll take the word of, you know, people that weren't even there before they'll take the word of survivors. And so, you know.
And what's so incredible about that to me, Mr. Bowen, is that the attack on the Liberty falls so closely on the calendar to Memorial Day. I mean, you would think with so many living survivors of this attack that the Liberty Memorial Day would be almost married to one another. But it is the people who perished on that day and in that attack are the last people you hear about on Memorial Day, which is a real injustice.
Well, and I agree with you. We have 34 men who were killed that day. 174 of us were wounded that day. That's a 70% casualty rating for that one instance. And it's the most highly decorated naval ship for a single incident. And yet, most of the American public have never heard about it. And once again, it's because our government has covered this up. They failed to release critical documents that would, you know, set the record straight. We know that there's information that the National Security Agency has and the Central Intelligence Agency has that would set the record straight. And we've asked through the Freedom of Information Act to have them release that information. But once again, they refuse to release it. So go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say very quickly, I don't want to run out of time before we have a chance to mention this. Larry Bowman, of course, not only was he there on the Liberty that day, he is now the president of the USS Liberty Association. Larry, we have been mentioning honorlibertyvets.org. I don't know if that's an ancillary site or one you would direct people to. It does have a lot of good information, so we're mentioning it tonight. But is there a more official website that you would direct people to if they want to learn more about the Liberty or contribute in any way?
Yes, we have our USS Liberty .org website, and that's our official USS Liberty Veterans Association website, and that gives you direct access to all of our newsletters, all the various documents that we've collected over the years. There's several different forms and files that you can have access to there. It also gives you a list of people that you can contact, such as myself and other members of the board. And you know, you can get in touch with us through that.
I'm glad I asked. I'm at it right now. I was giving another website. That website still has great information. Be sure to check it out. But for the official website, you just heard it from the man himself, Larry Bowman, president of the USS Liberty Association. That is USSLiberty.org, USSLiberty.org. You can get it all there, the contact information, the information, all of the information, the background, the truth, USSLiberty.org. Larry, final word to you.
Okay. Final word is please, please ask your local representatives and senators to get out there and push for a full and open investigation into the attack on the USS Liberty that occurred 54 years ago, June 8th, 1967.
And when you do that, ladies and gentlemen, be sure to send them to ussliberty.org. That is the official website. Going to give it to you one more time, ussliberty.org. Larry, thank you for your courage, your heroism, your willingness to speak to us tonight and tell us the truth. This is it's just been an honor. I don't know if I actually have the words to describe what it is like to be able to interview people, men of your caliber and men with your stories tonight. This has been a great privilege and pleasure for me as a host of a talk radio program to bring this story to a wider audience. And we thank you again for your service and your steadfast devotion to the truth. Larry Bowman, president of the USS Liberty Association, ussliberty.org. One more segment. We're going to go back to Eddie in Pensacola to wrap up the show. Stay tuned, everybody.
Mom, you don't know anything about me anymore.
Honey, I know you're good at math. You don't like English. I know Ryan smiled at you yesterday at school. I know your favorite color is purple. And I know you don't like mushrooms. And who can blame you? I mean, mushrooms are a fungus, and people generally try to avoid funguses. Or is it fungi? I'm never quite sure. But, you know, either way, I mean, penicillin is good.
Penicillin is a mold.
Huh. Well, I guess you're right. So you like penicillin, but not mushrooms.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear.
Mom, if we talk, will you be quiet?
Love to.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. James Edwards, Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Here we go. I mean, listen, this has been a fast 2 hours. Eddie has done such a great job of setting the table tonight, and it started in a very unexpected way at the top of the second hour. Of course, first hour, Keith Alexander and I were covering the news of the week, and then we transitioned into this second and third hour. Eddie brought on a young lady who just so happened to be at the hotel tonight and had the chance for the first time in her young life to meet with some of these people and to hear their stories, and it certainly changed her opinions on a lot of things. And that's, of course, what we're here to do, is to let to present the truth to you, and then you do what you will with that truth. But we will always speak the truth, and we will always tell the truth in love. But from there, of course, we went on to any number of sailors, at least a half a dozen members of the crew of the USS Liberty, and even a member of the USS America, which that was a fantastic and unexpected a bit of information that he was able to share. Well, anyway, Eddie is down in Pensacola tonight at this convention, at this reunion, this gathering of the survivors of the USS Liberty. And this show doesn't happen without Eddie. I want to remind you again, speaking of Israel, thekosherquestion.com, thekosherquestion.com. Be sure to check it out and eat in your own interests for a change, thekosherquestion.com. Eddie, I asked you specifically in the last break. I mean, I know we've had all of these great heroes. I mean, you want to talk about American heroes. This is just a few days past Memorial Day, and I made mention of this with the guest in the last hour. You know, the fact that the USS Liberty was attacked so near to Memorial Day and that there were so many casualties, you would think that it would be mentioned on Memorial Day from time to time. But, of course, it's the last thing that they want to have mentioned. And, of course, it never is mentioned. It never has been mentioned. The ability to get this word out is a real privilege. Eddie made it happen tonight. You've been down there, though, Eddie. I want to wrap the show up with you. What has it been like? I mean, I know we opened this portion of the show at the top of the second hour with this question, but you've been down there for several days now. You've bonded with these men. I mean, I know you had an acquaintanceship and you knew some of these people. You've talked to them prior to this week, but I'm sure that bond was only solidified with steel cables over the course of the last couple of days. Just give us in your own words what it has been like once again to be there with those men, what you've learned, what you've seen, their interactions with one another. I'd really like to know about that. I mean, just there's so much I could ask you with so little time left. Just give us the high points or the things that you think would be most interesting to know for the audience, those of us who couldn't have been there this week or weren't there this week. What did we miss? What did you see? Your biggest takeaways.
You know, my biggest takeaway is the emotional bonding. I was immediately impressed with this, the caliber of these sailors and Marines. One of the Marines, I guess he got so upset. He was burned real bad, the attack of the Liberty. And for the life of me, let me ask, hey, Larry, what was the name of that Marine that was here? What was, I can never remember his name.
I'm sorry?
What was the name of the Marine that was here?
Eddie's taking a quick parenthetical.
Bryce. That's right, Bryce Lockwood. Bryce Lockwood.
All right, tell us
Lockwood.
About Bryce.
Yeah, Bryce Lockwood was the only Marine on deck. He saw the whole thing. He saw the Star of David. He was burned real bad, and he's written books, you know. But he was so emotionally carried away, he had to leave. But James, like I say, I got down here Thursday, and the bonding was immediate. I'm not trying to be dramatic. It's just like I'm blood related to these guys. It's just a spirit between us, you know.
Well, I mean, it was the same time period. You were serving as a combat medic. I mean, doing the hardest work imaginable in Vietnam during the same years almost. I mean, just right around that same time. Y'all were all there. You were all sacrificed in different ways. I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all that you would have that sort of a familial bond.
I'll tell you what, the emotion is just a roller coaster. I'm kind of an emotional guy anyway, but I get attached to people instantly. I love, I love them so much. But and then you know, the seeing the hurt in their voices. As a matter of fact, the fellow Mo Schaefer, the fellow who organized this whole event, he wouldn't come on the radio because he couldn't handle it. The trauma's too bad. You know, we only had a fraction of the guys here. Some of them I asked him, and they said it's just too traumatic. They couldn't do it. A lot of the sailors. Well, you heard one sailor a few minutes ago that was been gone for 54 years. But here, what's really infuriated me is if anybody ever thought that you have no government, you're right. What we have a government. It's loud. They made the message loud and clear for years. The United States of Liberty is really, if you want to know, just one incident. But they proved beyond a shadow of doubt, they being the government and the higher up, the brass in the military, who, you know, the brass, like these admirals, most of them are just politicians. They made it loud and clear, James. The United States government is not our government. They don't give a damn about these people. I told them today, I told these guys, hey, you're Navy, I was Army. We are just dumb animals. To quote Henry Kissinger and George Soros, Henry Kissinger, I quote him, he said that the military are just a bunch of dumb animals. They're too stupid to do anything else, and they're to be used at the behest of we, the elite. He said that, and that's what we're used for. That's what all military people are used for. That was brought home loud and clear with what the Israelis did to the United States ship Liberty with no repercussions whatsoever, and they actually knew it. One of the guys was talking about the commandos. The Israeli Marines were getting ready to board the United States ship, and that's what I was told to the guys today. Where in the hell were the Marines? Where were the M-14s, the M-1s? They could have picked them off. But and the Israeli commandos were actually flipping them off and getting ready to board. But the very fact that an admiral, I'm going blank. I can never think of the guy's name. He was the admiral that superseded the countermanded Admiral Geis's order. And McCain was above Admiral whatever his name was. But, the guy is a traitor. McCain was a traitor. It shows our government is totally full of traitors. Our government cares more about Israel than they do our own servicemen. So that proves to one thing. If you ever doubted it, we have a government. We have a government. We're the United States is the dog, and we're wagged by the tail. Israel runs this government. The Israelis will tell you that they control this country. You know what? And they don't. If you want to know the truth, they don't give a damn if we get this news out for right now, because they think that they have such, and they're right. They have such a lock over the United States politicians, over our congressmen and senators. But people, another thing you've learned if you listen talk to these guys. The Congress, the United States Representatives, House of Representatives, the Senate, they are just window dressing. They have no authority whatsoever. They take their marching orders from Zion. They take their marching orders from Israel. And you know what? That's not just Eddie Miller saying it. You can talk to the head honchos. You can talk to Menachem Begin.
Eddie.
Go ahead.
No. All that will stand for right now. I just want to ask you this with only 2 minutes remaining. What have been the functions? I mean, obviously everybody's together, and again, I know you were on a roll, but we only have about 2 minutes. What have been the functions? What has been the agenda? What have people done? I guess speeches. I guess presentations. What are you doing the rest of the night, tomorrow? What have we missed? Take us there.
Tonight, the functions were. It was mainly just a brotherhood to get together. These guys get together and rebond, and that was the main function. We had a lady here. I wish she was still here. She's the one that founded ifonlyamericasonlyknew.org. I came up with suggestions. I told the sailors I didn't want to overstep my bounds because I'm not. I said I wanted to go to Washington with them, but I didn't want to do anything at all without their approval. It's not about me, but yeah, the main function was to get together, brotherhood. The Mescal from True News came in, hooked up the movie. They couldn't have got it going without him.
Movie is Sacrificing Liberty. There is a movie about this, Sacrificing Liberty, if I'm not mistaken.
$12.50. The price has come down from about, I paid about 50 for mine. It's down to about $12.50. Their goal is to get it free eventually, because it costs a hell of a lot of money to make it. Matter of fact, the Mascow guy just came in from St. Petersburg, Russia, just early this morning and did
so
that.
So True News is represented down there. Obviously us, obviously, a few other truth tellers, but not enough. There is still more work to be done.
We're doing what we can do, James. I tell you, we're getting it out. And here's the thing. Like I told the sailors today, we can't be polite. You got to stop worrying about being soft-spoken and polite. We have to get out in the streets. We have to go to the churches. I know you'll be shocked, but I blasted the hell. Here's what I told the people in my talk. I told them I'd rather be caught in a New Orleans whorehouse than to be caught in a Southern Baptist church again. Because I tell you what, as you know, James, I was baptized in a Southern Baptist church.
I was there for that. I saw it happen. He's not
turned straight whore, James.
Hey, what are you doing the rest of the night, Eddie?
Oh man, I think I'm going to finally sleep. I can't believe I went that long without eating, but I hadn't missed a day running, you know, getting ready for my New York marathon. But, I'm going to have to get this equipment all loaded up. I've got to go, sir, early in the morning because the traffic is just unbelievable coming down here. And I had a hell of a time getting here. It's hard to read those road signs when you're by yourself running. With no GPS, my GPS thing wouldn't work.
And, Sacrificing Liberty, Eddie, the music's coming, sacrificingliberty.com, sacrificingliberty.com. That's where you can get this movie, a professionally produced movie about what happened on that day that we've been hearing so much about tonight, sacrificingliberty.com. Eddie, I love you. Let's get together. Let's break bread when you get back home. Thank you for making tonight possible. Please, please, please give our regards to the crewmen, to the sailors, to the heroes. For Keith Alexander, for our crew, for all the sailors, for Eddie, I'm James Edwards, and we'll talk to you next week. God bless and Godspeed, and God bless, and let us always remember the USS Liberty.